Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, we are joined by Dr. Pants as we check out some images of a red Sunstreaker Masterpiece figure. New Age Toys is bringing us a Masterpiece-scaled Dark of the Moon Soundwave, and Shockwave Lab brings us some upgrade kits for a Siege Nemesis Prime. Today is Wednesday, May 6th, 2020, and this is episode 380 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that promises never to lie to you, but makes a lot of false statements. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The prestigious, illustrious Dr. Pants.
Wow, what an intro. I don't have a catchphrase yet.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, how's it going? Let's talk Transformers.
All right. So, yes, Dr. Pants, a.k.a. Scott. So we're gonna call you Scott because I think it's weird to call you Dr. Pants throughout the whole show. But
no, that's fine. Well, thank you.
It's weird because his name is Frank.
But welcome. Yes, we are. We're kicking off a new era of Transmissions. We are expanding the Transmissions family. Yoshi is still on the show, so no one has kicked off Yoshi, but Yoshi has been unable to join us for a long time. So we're trying to grow our family and add new voices to Transmissions. So,
and apparently another doctorate.
Scott is our first new voice. So welcome, Scott, and hope you have fun.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm very, very excited for this.
You know, we're going to have some rotating guests in, a few times a month, and Yoshi back whenever he can come back. So we're still hopeful that Yoshi can come back. I think, also the pandemic has given this, made things particularly more difficult as well. So,
yeah, quarantine life is tough.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So there's still much love for Yoshi. We love Yoshi, and you might hear you're going to hear from Yoshi. We're making an effort to get his voice on the show more often, even if he can't be here with us live. So if you're here for Yoshi, he's still around. But yeah, so
I miss Yoshi.
Yeah, we
God damn it, Yoshi.
We all do.
I missed hearing that in the podcast too.
We're happy to have Dr. Pants joining us, adding a new voice. And as always, we'll start off and kick the show off by thanking our Donatrons for continuing to support the show and continuing to keep us going. And Dr. Pants is already a Donatron, so thank you, Dr. Pants. Or Scott, I should say, thank you for continuing to support us. And
thank you for giving me a reason to support you.
Thanks, and if Frank. You'd like to be... If you'd like to become a Donatron, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and there you'll find links on Patreon and PayPal to join the Donatron family. You can also support us by buying merchandise from our TeePublic store. That is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can also check out a friend of the show, K-Girl. Her store is at teepublic.com/user/superstarK.
Do you want to mention the new stuff on the store?
Yes, yes, I was getting to it. I saw the note.
Okay.
I see it. I'm not going to skip over it.
Okay.
Thank you for highlighting it. we've already got lots of t-shirt designs, very cool shirt designs. But now Jeremy has added some new stuff. We've got masks. This is, very relevant for these days where a lot of places are requiring you to wear masks when you go into a store or anywhere else. So, we're helping out by, making some Transmissions themed masks available. So if you want to be Optimus Prime, we've got an Optimus Prime face mask, and we've also got our good guy and bad guy, symbol masks. So.
Actually, all of our designs, it's just like all of our designs can be masks.
Oh, okay.
Good guy and bad guy look well. They look pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the Prime face mask, and I'm going to try to make some that look like some other Transformers. But the bad thing about it is shipping. Like, I ordered some. Shipping is like 15 to 20 days on these because they are so deluged with orders. But they are also, with every mask order, they are donating a medical grade mask to an organization. You're helping others by buying one of these.
No, that's cool. I didn't know that. That's an awesome benefit. So help us help some people who really need it. All right. And another perk of being a Donatrion is you get access to some special stuff we put out every so often. Just last week, Daryl and Jeremy put out a couple of breaking news segments just for Donatrions. It came out during the week when we had news that didn't make it into the podcast because, it came out after we recorded, or after Jeremy and Daryl recorded, I should say.
we couldn't wait a week to talk about it.
So, listen to those on our Patreon or on our PayPal. We've got our Dropbox link for you guys. And we've also got the uncut version of Empire of Rust. So Mike has been putting out longer versions of the most recent Empire of Rust episodes. So they got, all the stuff that he left on the cutting room floor that's in the episode. So now this week we've got episode 22. So this was You Get a Ship If I Get a Trip. That came out last week. So now we've got the uncut version just for Donatrions. That is up on our Patreon or through our PayPal Dropbox link. So check that out. But before I move on, also, I did listen to the shows last week because I was unable to make it.
Uh-oh, here it comes, Jeremy. The critique.
It was nice being on the show, Daryl. Well,
It's not a critique. I just want to say Daryl in particular.
Correction. Oh, geez.
No.
Jeez, Jeremy, Daryl, you're good. Don't worry, you're good, Jeremy. I'm done. He's had enough of the Canadian on the show, acting all Daryl, big and bad.
I would just like you to have a little bit more pride in Transmissions. Transmissions is not terrible. We actually put on a pretty good show. You can be proud of being part of Transmissions and the work that you do for Transmissions. It's good, Daryl. I'm here to tell you
anything.
It's like Stuart Smalley. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. So, that's I'm just giving you a pep talk, Daryl. Saying, be proud of Transmissions.
Two stars in iTunes.
We are.
You didn't play a lot of sports, eh? That pep talk kind of sucked.
Alrighty then, last time I tried to say anything encouraging.
I'm just lucky that I'm on the show with you guys because people kind of are forced to hear me because they tune in for everyone else and they're like, oh, Jesus, that Canadian guy's talking again.
I think we did get a request for more like Texas Yoshi and stuff.
Oh, I don't know whether I can do it on the spot.
Good.
That request wasn't from me, so let's just move on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe he'll make an appearance at some point during the show.
And lastly, before we talk about toys, we do have to do our monthly Toy Hacks $10 gift code drawing for April. Toy Hacks is generous enough to give us $10 to give away to one of our lucky listeners every month. And all our Donatrions are automatically entered into the drawing. But if you are not a Donatrion, you can still enter. Just send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com with a picture of one of your Transformers that you'd like to get stickers for. And we will enter you in that month's contest. This month, we didn't have any new entries, so it's just the Donatrions getting put in this for this week. Or this month, I should say. So, Jeremy, are you ready to pick a winner?
Computer, are you ready?
I'm ready when you are.
All right, Jeremy, if your assistant could give us a random number between 1 and 83.
Computer, give me a random number between 1 and 83.
Your random number between 1 and 83 is 33.
Travis. Right. Congratulations, Travis.
Right on.
Woo!
Good job, Travis.
Oh, I think Travis actually goes by a different name online. So people probably have heard emails. So I won't reveal because I think he wants to keep the names
separated.
But yeah. Congratulations, Travis.
Right on. We will be in touch. I will be in touch and get you your gift code to get some stickers.
And we did have John Forex Levengood showed us some of the stickers he got from he was a winner last month, and he got his Ectotron stickered up, so that was cool.
And it looks really good.
Yeah, and that is in our trips to the store chat, I believe.
I think so.
So if you're on the Discord, if you go to the Transmissions Discord and check out our trips to the store channel, you can see John's Ectotron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks really, really good.
Yep.
Good job, John.
And that's at transmissionspodcast.com/Discord.
Toy Hacks makes some.
Yeah, so definitely toyhacks.com. Thank you, Toy Hacks. It's very cool.
And remember that they are, like Daryl mentioned a couple weeks ago, they're turning on the ordering, they're turning it on and off to manage demand versus how many people they have working at the time. So if you don't see order buttons, just try back later.
All right. So now let's talk about some transforming robots.
All right. And first up this week, this prototype popped up on the sites and the interwebs, and it's the Transform and Roll Out TR-02 Commander of Stars. It's the Cybertron Optimus Prime. This is a pretty cool looking prototype. And from Transform and Roll Out, which you'll remember did that MP scaled G1 Jazz a while back. It took a while for that G1 Jazz to come out, but looks phenomenal. So I have a lot of faith that this is going to look really good and that it's going to hopefully come out, because it did take quite a long time for that Jazz to come out. But yeah, you take a look at this MP or this this Cybertron Optimus Prime, and it's got everything that you would expect it to have. It's almost a recreation of that Cybertron figure, but with a lot more detail, a lot more articulation, and looks to be way better build quality. It looks really, really good. So yeah, you get the alt mode, which is that big, heavy Cybertronian truck with the trailer and all that stuff that's in that trailer. And yeah, it's all there. Just, and then it all busts apart and then transforms. You get the Optimus Prime figure by itself, which you would do with the original figure as well. But then that trailer combines on and gives him the insane amount of armor. So the wing pack on him is the same as it was in the original, only these wings are much bigger. And I think the bigger wings actually add a lot more to him. And yeah, he looks fantastic. I'm also going to hazard a guess that these tires on him are rubber, because on the prototype, they're black already. So it would make it seem like they're rubber already. So yeah, I'm looking at this thing. I think it looks really great. The hands are one of those things on the original figure that weren't that great, because they were really kind of chunky and didn't really articulate very well. But I'm looking at the ones on this figure here, and they look like they're really done very well. And there's ankle tilts and all kinds of articulation that the original figure didn't have, because it was, it's an older figure and they just didn't have the ability. Jeremy, I'm going to go to you first, because, you know, Optimus Prime and a super mode, and that seems to be right up your alley. What do you think of this one?
Well, I wasn't a fan of the Cybertron series. Like, I don't know if I've watched more than one episode of it, and I didn't really collect many of the toys. I do like the style of, I'm a fan of Fire Truck Optimus Prime.
Sure.
And I put some pictures here in the chat from TFU Info about the original toy. And they did a really good job of taking this and updating it, more modern engineering. And I mean, I think this looks really good. I like I've always kind of liked the design of this character. They've done a really good job. And I like that you can get your classic full faceplate or you can get the one like in the show here with the more Optimus Primal kind of broken faceplate. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can really see that I have an issue with, and it looks like the original toy had the same issue, so maybe it's on purpose, but the wings, when it's in the truck mode, it looks like it just kind of goes out a little bit in the front, you know, so it's like kind of at a little angle. Okay. And it's just that just aesthetically looks off to me. Hmm. You know, it seems like it should be flush, but if the original toy also did that, I can see
right.
why they would do it.
Yeah, I mean, the original toy, the wings basically turned into body panels for the trailer.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they on the original toy, they stick pretty well to being just along the side of that trailer. But and we're looking, you know, reminder, we're looking at a prototype here, so things might be not.
Yeah, and it's at an angle.
Yeah, so they might not be lined up as perfectly as you'd like, but I can't imagine everything on this thing would be just perfectly aligned, and then they'd let the wings or the panels on the trailer just kind of hang loose like that. I'm sure that they'd probably have them all stuck in there really tight.
But it looks like it has some design cues from the 2001 RID series in that, like, the fire truck mode in itself, but the chest windows kind of are stylized kind of like the 2001. But then in the vehicle mode, the truck looks more like the Ultra Magnus truck in just, you know, the angles and shapes that it has.
Sure.
I don't know. It's just, it's a really cool looking design.
It is. And it's a fan favorite for sure, because a lot of people really do gravitate towards this, which is why it got remade for the Siege line, right? So I'm going to go to my new co-host here, Frank. What are your thoughts on here, on this one?
Oh, that's me. I'm Frank.
Yes.
I've actually been looking at this for a while, because I don't remember how long ago they announced it, but I remember like the color 3D picture they had put out, and I'm not the biggest fan of Cybertron as a cartoon series, but I love this design of Optimus Prime. I'm like Jeremy, I love Super Primes with all the extra armor that combine with their trailers and stuff. And about a year ago, I finally got a hold of the original toy for Cybertron Optimus Prime, and I love it. But this, I love the proportions on this. I love the longer, not so chunky legs, those bigger wings. This looks really, really cool. And yeah, I might have to save up and get this.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree with you. The original one, the legs on it, like I have a Galaxy Force one and I have an original Cybertron one. And the legs on them are, they're chunky. They don't articulate very well. You add that addition to them from the trailer to make them a little taller, and it just adds just height, and it doesn't add any kind of articulation or movement. It's just really, really chunky. The wings, I am a huge fan of the huge long wings. If the wings can be longer, make them longer, in my opinion. Just the bigger the wings, the better for me. And this thing here has mammoth wings, so I'm right there with you on this. And I agree with you, both of you, so far. The Cybertron series was abysmal. Probably the best out of the three, though, of the Unicron series, but it was just not the best. But this design coming out of it is truly a really shining star for it. But Charles, what are your thoughts? Feel free to tell me how wrong I am.
I mean, I guess I'm not as enamored with this version of Prime as other Primes. But I mean, it is a good design. And this looks like a very nice rendering of the original version from Galaxy Force or Cybertron. I guess my issue with this is just the trailer mode. Like you guys mentioned, how you really see. I mean, it's the same with the original toy, but you really see like all the, you know, the robot kibble bits in the trailer when it's in mm-hmm. trailer mode. And that's something I kind of don't like in a Prime. Like, I'd like to see it do a little bit better job of covering up all the robot bits in truck mode.
They did do a better job of hiding the head.
Yeah.
Looking at the original toy picture.
But that's a nitpick, and it's a good figure. It's just not something that I'd be interested in personally. One thing I'm curious about, though, is do you think there's a market for this, given that you just had the War for Cybertron version have a version of this figure last year?
Well, I mean, that is a good question, and we do see that question posed quite often recently anyway. I don't know. I mean, I just found a pre-order for it on TF Source, showing that it is set at $185.99, which makes it a pretty spicy meatball.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big figure. They're saying here on the pre-order site that it's going to be 9.45 inches tall or 24 centimeters tall. In super mode, that's 11 inches tall or 28 centimeters. And in vehicle mode, it's 14.25 inches long or 38 centimeters long. This is a big figure, right? The original didn't come close. The new one is not even a question because it's smaller than the original. I think there's going to be a market for people, especially people who are really into the Cybertron series, right? And there are people out there that love it. You know, it's their G1. So
yeah, they're now where we were with like Beast Wars era, where we were now suddenly starting to get money.
Yeah,
it's where they are now.
And this is way cheaper than a Masterpiece Optimus Prime, right? So it's especially an MP44. So I can see people paying this. I like it a lot, you know, and if I can't say that I would buy it at this price point, but I'm interested for sure. It's a very cool figure, and I skipped on the Siege one because I didn't want a remold of the Ultra Magnus to be just kind of turned into this, because I felt it was a cool enough figure to get its own. So yeah, I don't know. It is cool, and I think you'll see people getting it. The question is how fast will it come out? It's supposed to come out the end of the second quarter of 2020. I think our current situation is throwing a bit of a monkey wrench into that, but who knows? It's supposed to come out this year, but there is a bit of a history for Transform and Rollout to delay things a bit.
Also, just to add something to this, I think they're doing a good thing that if they're going to do something that's not G1, you go with a Prime figure, because that's going to probably do better than anything else they could put out there.
It's true. It's true. Plus, it's a Prime figure that has never been done before.
Yeah.
Right? By a third-party company, I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what all I brought to the show this week. Jeremy, what are you bringing?
I have a couple of couple of add-ons from Shockwave Lab. They do a lot of the like LED based add-ons, and this time they have, this is for the Siege Nemesis Prime figure, they have SL73, which is a new LED Matrix of Chaos that sticks in his chest and glows in a nice pinkish purple. I'm not sure if the colors on the image are off, and it shines through his windows when the windows are closed. And then they also have SL74, which are exhaust pipes, and they replaced the little stubby exhaust pipes on the figure with some nice sized ones that really what we would prefer in our figures, have decent exhaust pipes. So I think these are really nice, and you know, upgrade kits usually aren't that expensive, so it's a nice way to modify your figure. And you know, as a fan of the Nemesis Prime color scheme and, you know, character, I think if I had the figure, these are something I would probably get, because one, who likes chubby smokestacks? No one likes
nobody.
Them. And then having the light up matrix, I just think that's a really neat look. So, Charles, I'll start with you. What do you think of these?
These two, I think these are nice little upgrades for this figure. Just looking at the Nemesis Prime figure, I mean, I like that they've given it the blue accents on the, you know, not just a solid black figure, so it's in line with other Nemesis Primes.
Well, they didn't make the figure.
No, I know. I was just commenting on the figure, okay, since I hadn't really seen the figure before.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, having a nice light up matrix, and it looks like it's in line with the color on the windows and the sword. I think it's cool. It's a nice little add on for this figure, and of course, long smokestacks are key.
Mm-hmm. Size matters.
Do we have a price on these? I guess no.
This was just announced on their Weibo account.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so I imagine the prime figure is like what, $20 or so. So I hope these upgrades are not too much, like maybe $10 or something like that.
Obviously, the smokestacks are going to cost less than the Matrix.
Yeah,
and they're tiny pieces of plastic. I wouldn't expect them to be that much. The Matrix is probably going to be a little bit more because there's, you know, electronics in a battery in there.
Mm-hmm.
So Shockwave Labs sells on eBay exclusively. And their stuff is, I just found the one so far. And the Matrix one is $16.
Okay.
And the other one is... varies from $6 to $16. So
I would hold off to see it for $6.
Yeah. But it's a buy it now for $6. So
that's about what I expect to pay for the smokestacks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
$16 for the Matrix.
Not bad.
Daryl, since you were looking that up, what do you think? I mean, and it's nice. I didn't mention the Matrix looks like it can stay in while it's transformed,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice
feature. So this is a like a reshelling or a recolor of the set that they made for the Optimus Prime one, and so it really doesn't cost them anything really to do another version of this. And yeah, I'm glad that Shockwave Labs is doing stuff like this. It's a fun little add-on. I fully agree with you guys about the smokestacks. I would probably be getting these if I had this figure. Yeah, because I don't think a short, stubby smokestacks really look good at all. So, yeah, I don't think I would probably go for the Matrix one myself, just because I tend to always forget about the LED aspect, and then I find that I've got like two dozen, you know, small watch batteries I got to replace. I end up spending like $70 on fucking batteries. So,
and it looks like I was wrong. It actually, you have to remove it before you transform it. But the smokestacks are obviously you don't.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
Dr. Steve, what do you think about it?
It's really, really cool. I love upgrade kits. I've picked up a couple of them myself. And if I had the Nemesis Prime, I'd probably look into getting at least the smokestacks, but I'd probably also get that light up Matrix. I love it when figures light up. Even if it's just for me to turn it on when I'm sitting in the room and be like, oh yeah, that looks cool. No, this looks really, really nice. I love that Matrix. I love that shot they have of him with the chest open and he's like holding it open with it lit up. That's really, really cool. Yeah, Shockwave Labs, I've seen some of their stuff before and it all looks really, really good. So if I had the figure, I'd probably pick it up.
Well, I think you are next up. So what do you have to show?
I have a figure from New Age Toys that is not a Legend scale figure, because I'm pretty sure they've only done Legend scale so far, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, they're doing a Masterpiece scale figure, and it's a movie figure. They're doing a Dark of the Moon Soundwave. It's their XM1 Mista, or Meista. I'm not sure. But this is looking really, really cool. It's a Masterpiece movie-scaled Soundwave. Can somebody tell me what car is that he transforms into? I'm drawing a blank.
It's in the story, but it's a Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Mercedes-Benz.
Gorgeous car.
Oh, I love this. And I actually really like this Soundwave figure. I'm not a big fan of the movie stuff, but they show him in all kinds of different poses here. He looks pretty articulated. There isn't a terrible amount of, like, really bad kibble. I mean, there's movie kibble. But he does come with a Ravage. He comes with a laser beak. The door's open. And they have pictures of him scaled with the Masterpiece movie Bumblebee. And it looks like it scales pretty well. Comes with a gun. My thing is I gotta say, I'm impressed they've got the Mercedes symbol on the front of the car, because that's always kind of a weird thing, isn't it, when you've got an official vehicle? But maybe they can get away with it because it's third party.
It's third party.
I think I said like a week or two ago, if they don't care about Hasbro's IP, why would they care about someone else's?
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, but Mercedes is probably even less likely to notice this since it's a toy and they make cars.
Yep.
Fair point. Fair point. But I think this looks really cool. I'm not a big movie fan, but I am a big Soundwave fan. Personally, I might pick this up, but Daryl, what do you think? I know you're not a big movie fan, but...
I'm a big car guy.
This is true.
And actually, I do like the car that the Soundwave is turns into. Full disclosure, when Dark of the Moon was coming out, he was supposed to get a deluxe figure from that toy line. And in the, you know, with the alt mode of the car, it never got over to North America, but was in fact made. So I spent, at the time, it was $36 for, you know, with free shipping, which I thought was a lot for a deluxe. Little did I know it was going to be retail price later, but I did get one shipped over. So I have a sealed Dark of the Moon Soundwave over here that is an AMG SLS Mercedes. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. They did just bring out one in the Studio Series line. I believe it's number 51. And I picked that up as well. I don't really do a lot of, you know, movie stuff, but this Soundwave is just a really cool figure for the movie line. As far as the figure goes, I do remember when they announced it, or it got announced from was it the Hong Kong Toy Show, I believe. Anyway, it's a cool looking figure. Yeah, it's silvery gray because of the color of the car. It does get to a point where it is hard to distinguish features on the figure because of the colors blending all together. But that's just the design of the figure. But it's cool. It's a cool looking toy, and I'd love to mess with it just to see. Yeah, it's pretty neat. I'd like to see it. If you do get one, invite me over. I'll come check it out.
That sounds good. Charles, what about you?
I'm not the biggest fan of the movie aesthetic, but I think it's a relatively good figure. I mean, there's not as many spiky bits on Soundwave as other movie characters, and the car mode is pretty cool. I do like having Ravage and Soundwave with Ravage and Laserbeak with Soundwave. That's always nice. Although this Ravage and this Laserbeak are not my preferred Ravage and Laserbeak, but I think it's good to package them with Soundwave, as always. And yeah, it's a good looking figure. It's definitely a good looking figure. I wonder if there will be a Masterpiece Movie Soundwave coming out relatively soon. So this might be a direct competition with something Takara puts out in the next year or so. But we'll see. I mean, but it's a good figure. It's definitely, you know, for fans of Dark of the Moon Soundwave, I think this is a nice figure. I am not one of those fans, and but it's a nice figure.
You know, like the others, I'm not a fan of the movie aesthetic, but I think this is a nice looking figure. The one thing I like is how the car is very sleek, clean, very new looking. And then when you look at his robot mode, like in some of the joints where you see some of the like copper colored parts, it looks like it is weathered a little bit, and you know, it's a little more dirty looking, not to the point where we have with like the Siege line where it's horrible. This is just like a little bit. So it's nice seeing that, you know, it looks a little bit dirtier in robot mode than it is in car mode. But I have to agree with the other guys. Like, the lack of color is one of my big issues with all the movie line figures. But when you see that shot with all the different figures, it's hard to tell where one figure ends and the other begins. It's just the solid coloring. And I know that's how it was on the screen, so it's not going to change. It's just my biggest issue with the figure is just the monotone nature of most of the figure. But engineering-wise, I think this is, you know, fantastic looking. And I don't believe that the Ravage and Laserbeak transform the way they look, but it's nice that they're included.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. And I guess we'll... Charles, I think you're last then.
We also had a new official Masterpiece figure announced, and this is MP39 Plus Spinout. So this is a red Sunstreaker. So this is the Diaclone version of the original Diaclone toy that was Sunstreaker was based on, and it was originally colored red. So that's what Takara is basing this new character spin out on. It has the another recolor of Sunstreaker that was MP42 Cordon, and so they're taking that head, which is a slightly different head sculpt from the original Sunstreaker figure, which was MP39, and that they're putting it on this spin out body. So new character, he is a assault rescue character. That's his function, I guess. And I think this is the norm with Masterpiece figures, since it's a lot of engineering that goes into these figures, so they have to recoup their cost by putting out multiple versions. And so that's why you've got these different versions. Although I am curious, like their numbering scheme gets increasingly complex. Like, it's a recolor, but they didn't give it a new number, but the previous recolor, they did give a new number. So MP42 Cordon, that was also just a recolor of Sunstreaker, but it had a new head sculpt, so they gave that a new number instead of calling it MP39 whatever. But this one is also a new color with the different head sculpt, and they just name it MT39 Plus. So that has me a little confused. I don't know if anyone has an answer as to what Takara is thinking with the numbering scheme. But it is a good figure. I'm sure a lot of people were happy with Sunstreaker. I don't know how many people are interested in a red Sunstreaker who are not collectors of Diaclone in Japan. Dr. Pan or Scott, any your real name, Scott? That is your real name.
Apparently, I'm starting to forget now as we get further in the show.
What are your thoughts on spin out here?
This looks really, really cool. I like the original Sunstreaker. I never picked it up, the MP one, but I do like it. It's a very, very cool looking figure. Very, very cartoon accurate. I love that alt mode. And I go back and forth on whether I kind of like this better in red or not. But what you said about the numbering system, yeah, I have no idea what they're doing. I've completely lost track of what the numbers are. But as far as the figure goes, it looks really, really cool. I love all the features on Sunstreaker. And, if I was in the market for the Diaclone stuff, I would definitely pick this up. But unfortunately for me, I'm just not big into the Diaclone.
Daryl, I know you picked up a third-party Sunstreaker before the MP Sunstreaker came out. Did you ever circle around to the MP Sunstreaker?
I did. Yeah, I did. So I do have the official MP Sunstreaker now, but I did get the Bad Cube version before that. But I have a similar kind of feeling to Frank and his I have enough trouble keeping track of all the actual official MPs with just doing, G1s. So to go ahead and get all the Diaclone versions now, it gets a little complex and I gotta have a place to put them all. And, that seems to be a running problem for me, but I usually want one of the characters. So
yeah,
this is cool and all. It's not my collecting. It's not the way I want to have my stuff. So it's cool. I can appreciate it. It's the OG Sunstreaker. So yeah, pretty neat.
Yeah, and apparently he was the Sunstreaker, or this mold was the first Diaclone release in the Car Robot subline. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is the OG.
Yeah.
Jeremy, what do you think of this guy?
I am a fan, I think. I really like the red Lamborghini mold. Like in the 80s, I remember in elementary school, I thought Sideswipe was the coolest looking car. And then when I saw it was based off of a real car because I had the toy, I just, that was like my favorite car until Knight Rider. So the red Lamborghini, I love. I never had a Wheeljack. I don't think I've ever had a Wheeljack of any kind. So this would be something that I would be interested in getting. I probably would end up getting the yellow one just because I wanted to match the fiction. But I see nothing I don't like about this one. It's just the design looks good. The paint looks good. I would wish that the little things on the side of his head were red instead of yellow, but it's a minor thing. So, yeah, I think this looks great. I wish they would have shown us a picture of Sideswipe next to him just so you could compare the alt modes. At first, I thought that one with the engine and without the engine was Sideswipe, and then I realized, oh, it's just showing the engine can be hidden.
Yeah.
I think
I thought the same thing.
I think they did have side by side when the original MP Sunstreaker came out. I think Google will probably find those for you.
Do you wish that they made a headmaster version of this, where the head could be turned into a young
Hunter
boy?
Hunter Onian.
Yeah,
that would be funny.
That would be cool. That might make me actually buy it.
But it would be that for Sunstreaker though.
Just have a third party make a Hunter figure that would transform into that head.
Right.
All right. Well, that's all our toy topics. So we will move on to trips to the store. And this is where we show off all the cool stuff we got this week. We do this as a video segment, so you can see everything we got on YouTube. You can see everything in beautiful high definition. But we also put the audio right here in the podcast, so you can keep listening as we describe everything in loving detail. And then you can pop over and check out that YouTube video. Give us those clicks and views. Like, share, subscribe, you know.
Smash the bell.
Exactly.
I was just thinking of that.
So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
All right. Let's talk about what we got this week. I have not really gone out a lot, so I did get to Target once, but my local Target is pretty terrible. Like, they don't even have Earthrise figures. They still have random War for Cybertron stuff, so I didn't get anything there. So I'm just showing off my Dreamwave comics. This is Dreamwave Transformers Generation 1 number 3, what we are reviewing in alt mode this week, so... This is the Autobot cover, which was all a good portion of the mini-bots. Not all the mini-bots, but a good portion of them with Bumblebee front and center. And then the Decepticon cover was the Insecticons. Each issue was an Autobot-themed, Decepticon-themed cover. So they continue that throughout the series. So they're cool. Both featuring Pat Lee art. Make of that what you will. All right. Moving on to Jeremy. What did you get?
I have a record. Cybertronic Spree put up and then promptly within a few hours sold out on their Transformers 1986 album, the LP, on Enjoy the Ride Records, and I managed to get one.
Nice.
And this is it's a cover album, the entire soundtrack. I already had the CD from their Kickstarter and the digital version. But I'm a sucker for these. And if you know, you can see the label they got. They have their own kind of faction logo that they've come up with. But I opted for the Autobot blue. And this...
You're putting your fingers right fantastic. On that thing? Oh, my God.
I mean, I'll clean it off. I just...
That's very man. Pretty. That's very
that's
pretty.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's a really sexy nice. Record.
Beautiful.
I know they had, I think, like 24 copies of a set that had all their different variants plus a test pressing. And I believe Mike Seibert got in on one of those. But that, you know, that was a bit too rich for my blood. I wanted one. I wanted the Autobot blue one. So I'm happy that's what I was able to get.
Nice.
But the art on the inside, you can see it's just a picture of them. And they are credited as their characters, like they're completely in character. Every, you know, says like Cybertronic Spree R, Hot Rod, lead vocals, Unicron, lead and rhythm guitar. It just, I don't know. But the versions of their songs on here are great. Like Hunger has RC as the lead vocals, and a female voice on that song just does something to it. And I don't know. I just really like it. It's a nice take on it. Yeah, I would recommend getting the digital or CD version if you can. It's a great version of the album. Although I would say there is no bad version of this album.
Nice.
I'm so sad I missed out on that. I've seen them live twice. They are so fun. And they're in character the whole time.
Yeah.
They just constantly talk about how they're from Cybertron and don't understand things. It's amazing.
Yeah. It would be interesting to... have them on the show, but that would be something to work around. But anyway, that's what I got this week.
Nice. All right, Daryl, what do you got?
All right. Well, I do have a comic that I got this week, came in the mail. It's not Transformers, but it's got a connection. This is Atomic Robo, The Spectre of Tomorrow, number 3, with fabulous art by Mr. Alex Milne on the cover of this. Ooh, and nice. This was one thing that I was chasing down for a very long time. And I just, nobody seemed to, you know, buy a lot of copies of this. My store that generally has a lot of copies of mostly everything may have had one or two of these, and they all went to people who were, you know, getting these as subscriptions. And I just couldn't find it. So I was really happy to finally chase one of these down. And yeah, this is great to get for the Alex Milne collection. And then my toy for this week is just something that Scott reminded me of. And that's my Dark of the Moon Deluxe Soundwave. And here it is here in its packaging. So I had it sitting. It sits on my wall, you know, just sitting there. And I looked it up on eBay, and it's last sold for $140. So, I mean,
nice.
It,
you said you paid $36.
Yeah, so it's gone up in value a little bit, but it's pretty awesome. It's a fun little figure. Like I said, it never came over to North America, and yeah, definitely got you know, only a few of these made, but it's neat. It's one of those ones that I'm like, oh, I'm gonna keep this thing sealed, and it's there's no Ravage or a Laserbeak portion of it. It's a mech tech weapon, so it's got that big freaking cannon up there, which, you know, everyone kind of hated.
That's the selling point.
Oh, yeah, right there. Everyone loved that. Mm. But, but yeah, you know, it's pretty neat. It's, you know, showing off all that, you know, fun stuff. But, yeah, you can look them up. I did see some for sale currently at around $85, so that's probably a pretty good deal. Yeah, it's neat.
Mech tech.
Gotta love it.
All right, Scott, we will end with you. What do you have?
So I was blessed with a mini Christmas on my porch on Wednesday, because a bunch of stuff came in that I ordered that I kind of forgot about because it took forever to get here, but it made for a
good
Wednesday.
Those are the best orders.
Oh, I know, right? But the first package was a little two-pack that I ordered, found it online for a reasonable price. I got Direct Hit and Power Punch.
Nice.
So from War for Cybertron Siege. I never found these guys in the store at all. I found pretty much every other like MicroMaster out there, but I never found these guys. And I wanted them because they, in their vehicle modes, they do combine into one long vehicle mode. And I had a bunch of those as a kid, so it was a little bit of nostalgia. But the other one I pre-ordered weeks ago, and again, just forgot it was coming out, but it was a little pack of some more mini bots. I got me a Frenzy, I think is what they officially called it, but call it Frenzy or Rumble or whatever you want. Wing Thing.
Mm.
And Scar and Knock. So I've got the cool. I've got the Power Masters. I've got the Power Masters for Double Dealer, and I now have all of the Spy Patrols for Soundwave. For my Siege Soundwave and my Sound Blaster. So I'm pretty happy with all that.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and I now have three versions of the Rat Bat mold, which isn't fantastic, because I really wish it folded into, like, a complete rectangle, but there's a big gap in it. But that's okay, because, you know, I got Wing Thing. And where else am I going to get a Wing Thing?
Yeah.
So, that's what I got for this week.
I still haven't found the second Spy Patrol, the Rat Bat one. It's just been the most impossible thing to find, so...
I found that once. I think I went out the day after Christmas, and one Target, like an hour and a half away from me that I was at, had one of them on the wall, and I snagged it. And that's the only time I've seen it.
So I found the first set you showed off, the two combining ones. I found that in a store here, and I was like, son of a bitch, I missed it. Yeah. So there's a couple things that I'm just dying to find or find somebody that's selling them. And yeah, but I'm glad you got it. It's a cool set to have finally complete. You know, obviously if you got a Soundwave, you want all the tapes too, right? So yeah. Cool. Good for you.
Yeah, I'll be picking up a Double Dealer. I'm actually probably gonna pre-order it soon because my stores around here have been worse than usual. My Walmart here has had nothing but Cyberverse figures and like one or two of the Studio series, so I'm probably just gonna pre-order it and make sure I get it. But any late stage G1 stuff that gets released in new figures, I will snag because that's so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. Well, I think that will wrap it up for Trips to the Store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and let's move on to convention news.
All right, one thing in convention news this week, and unfortunately it's another cancellation. Tokyo Toy Show and Wonderfest 2020 have both been canceled. Tokyo Toy Show gave no other information other than they've been canceled, but Wonderfest said that they are still doing the Autumn Wonderfest on November 1st. Or that they are doing an Autumn Wonderfest on November 1st. So they've rescheduled. I'm wondering, with Tokyo Toy Show canceled, the November Wonderfest will probably have a lot more news than normal. That is all the convention news we've got this week.
All right, and we will finish up the show with feedback. So we have a voicemail from one of our Donatrons, Jay of Snow.
Hey, guys. This is Donatrion donator Jay of Snow, a longtime listener, first-time voicemailer. I have to say that the plus side of all this shelter-in-place stuff and not going anywhere is I've managed to catch up with you guys, and I'm 100% current. And I've also had the opportunity now to take some of my toys out of the packaging. And that's kind of where I'm leading this little bit of a question for you guys. Have you ever had something that once you took it out of the package, you immediately regretted it? I mean, I just took out the Fall of Cybertron Combaticons, and with the exception of Swindle, they're all pretty crap, especially Brawl. I mean, the big tank guy has to be the most spindly, gappy, fall over, look at him cross-eyed and he falls over kind of Combaticon. Not quite the G1, you know, big block guy that he was, the awesome tank. So have you guys ever had something that from your collections, when you took it out of the box, you're like, I really should have not done that? Thanks, guys. Great show. And hopefully soon I'll actually be able to catch up on the live recording. Bye.
Cool. Yeah, I think I've talked about this before, but the Fun Pub BotCon reflector set that was a recolor of the Shockwave. I think it was a Combined Wars Shockwave. Yeah, that was was an instant regret for me. What about you, Daryl?
Oh, for me, I've definitely got one that's Transformers related, but I do have one that's non-Transformers related too. But the Transformers related one is probably about, I don't know, 6 months ago or so. I had gathered up all the parts for Combiner Wars Abominus and got all the characters together anyway, the component parts. But I also spent a bunch of money on the add-on parts, and I've shown it on the show before, but it was the Perfect Effect feet and hands, and then also the Perfect Effect like torso bit, right? So it adds a whole bunch of stuff to it, plus it's also a bunch more money, but it you know, it adds a lot, and all the pictures, it all made it look really, really good and awesome, and I was really excited to put it all together. But once I got it together, it wouldn't stand, and it just, under its own weight, I don't even think the thing was going to stand on its own anyway, but it's just, it needed so much more work to do. I still don't have the thing out and displayed because it just does not want to stand. The Perfect Effect feet, the joints on them are ball jointed. They just don't hold. And then the additional part for the torso gave these pieces to kind of, you know, bulk up the thighs, and they just fall apart constantly. So it really was a pain in the butt. I think I worked with it for over a week to try and make it look, you know, good and actually stay together, and I could never get it. So I just ended up throwing it in a bin, and it's still in the bin. It's down in the basement now, and it sits there, and I really dislike thinking about it. But the one I wanted to mention about that's non-Transformers is, I spent like, I don't know, almost $10 on a Hot Wheels car because I thought, you know what, this thing looks really cool. It's a little bigger than normal. It's got rubber tires. It's probably going to roll really, really well. and it's just going to be a really cool thing I can keep on the desk and, you know, mess with when I'm sitting there. Well, I opened it up and yeah, it's got rubber tires, but all of the other stuff is all just standard Hot Wheels, you know, kind of construction. And it felt really cheap after I opened it up. And it didn't roll quite as well as I thought it was going to roll. The axles on it were really flimsy and it just kind of bounced around the axles kind of bounced around in the housing. And I thought, this is a piece of shit. It looked so much better when I left it in the box or the package. So, you know, it's some stuff like that that really kind of bugs me. So yeah, I get the feeling for sure. I've opened up a lot of that stuff.
Fair enough. Jeremy, do you have any insta regrets?
I think it's a bad figure all around, but the Predacons Rising had these like legend sized, it was like a pack, you got them all together, and they were just horrible. I got it on clearance, so I wasn't out a lot of money, but I was just like, oh, it's so horrible. But then also, I have to agree on that Combaticon set that Jay mentioned. I had gotten the G2 set of those and never opened it because I heard so many bad things. And I eventually just sold that set. You know, they look good in the vehicle modes and, you know, kind of, if you don't take them out of the packaging, they look great, but yeah, never actually opened that up just because of all the bad reviews.
Hmm. All right, Scott, do you have a tale of woe?
So there aren't too many figures I've opened and instantly regretted, but probably the one that I regret the most, if I regret anything, is the Revenge of the Fallen Mixmaster, because it has such a cool vehicle mode. Like, that cement truck looks really, really awesome. And then I transformed it once to robot mode, and I have never since gotten it back into the vehicle mode. I cannot figure out how it works. There's so many pieces just, like, I can't line up, and I cannot figure out how it goes. And even with instructions, nothing fits together anymore. So it's in a box somewhere stashed away. So that's probably the one I regret, if anything.
Hmm.
All right.
I want to add on to Jay's Bruticus, though, is I also have the Bruticus individually bought, you know, all the deluxes and the Voyager bought individually, and I bought a whole bunch of add-ons for it, and it's sitting still sealed in a bin because of my experience with the Abominus and all the stuff that people have said about the Bruticus stuff. And I'm like, I've got all this money sitting here in this bin. Do I actually open it one day and just, you know, just see how it all works? Or do I just try and sell it all as one big pit? Right. Plus the addition of the I don't know what you call it. The Comic-Con exclusive blast off, right? Like I spent a lot of money trying to get all that nice stuff, right? So, you know, you can be out a lot of money there if it doesn't go right. You know, is it better to just leave it the way it is? Who knows?
Fair enough. All right. Well, thanks, Jay. That's an interesting, thought-provoking question. It's brings us down a little bit talking about figures we regret, but I think it was still a fun discussion.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right, well, I think that brings us to the end of this episode of Transmissions. Thanks, Scott, Dr. Pants, for joining us. Maybe tell us about what your regular gig is. I think it's something called Nerdstradamus there.
That is correct. So I have a YouTube channel called Nerdstradamus and a website, nerdstradamus.com. My friends and I typically just talk about video games and other nerdy things. And in fact, the Spy Patrol I showed off in Trips to Story did an unboxing on there. So if you want to join us there, we just like to do a lot of fun videos. And we do a lot of music videos and stuff too. So like I said, Nerdstradamus on YouTube or Nerdstradamus.com.
All right. And that will do it. Thanks everyone for listening. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Wow, I cannot remember anything anymore.
It's okay. I mean,
we talk about a lot of stuff.
Who knows what they
Jeremy and I have definitely been on more shows than Charles has been on, so it's more yeah. memories for me.
I miss one show.
Like I said, you know, on that last thing we did there, we're the hardest working guys in the
world. We are. We're always here. Either we have no outside podcast life, or we're just dedicated.
What's faster than the speed of light? The speed of your dad telling you to turn off the lights.
Oh. Oh.
That's very bad.
Oh. Alexa, you need better material.
It's terrible, Jeremy.
Yeah. Hope you're enjoying this TV now, because TV in 6 months is going to be nothing.
There's so much.
I have
much.
Such a big
There's
backlog. So I'll finally much. Catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. by the time it ends.
I watched, like, I think I watched the first two or three seasons. It's okay. It's not that interesting.
No. I've built it up. It's going to be great.
Well, just think. This person eventually becomes Shazam.
Right.
I watched all 10 seasons of Smallville, and I regret the last 5. Are you ready to pick a winner?
Not quite.
Okay.
I was moving my Echo, and I unplugged the power.